You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One day away. As we chat early this Saturday afternoon, we're almost within 24 hours of NBA free agency officially opening at 5 p.m. Houston time Sunday afternoon. By the time you're listening, we may well be inside 24 hours. And while not a lot of news directly involving the Rockets has changed since we last spoke on Wednesday, there are definitely some intriguing rumors around the league that could have some ripple effects on the Rockets, both indirectly in terms of the Kawhi Leonard pursuit by the Lakers and what that would mean for the Western Conference, and of course, the Philadelphia 76ers, what they're offering or perhaps not offering to Jimmy Butler, and what that means for Houston as it goes after its top target when free agency officially begins Sunday afternoon. So, to look at all of those angles and how they impact your Houston Rockets, welcome in to another episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. We're also sponsored by Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. So as we chat this Saturday afternoon, this is going to be our final, assuming there's no opt-in deal involving Jimmy Butler, this will be our final pre-free agency update, basically our lay of the land going into the start of free agency, where things stand around the NBA and how everything impacts the Rockets. As far as we can tell, plan A for Houston, even though they're over the cap, it's to meet with Jimmy Butler and sell him on the idea of a sign and trade. Now, as I am recording this early Saturday afternoon, nothing has been decided yet with regards to Jimmy Butler and his final year option, or at least officially decided, I should say. All reports are that he intends to become a free agent, and as I understand it, from a procedural standpoint, he really doesn't have to do anything. As long as he doesn't opt in, it will be assumed that he is becoming a free agent. And at that point, he'll be on the market tomorrow. And the reason for that, he can get $140 million guaranteed all the way up to $190 if the Sixers give him a five-year deal in free agency, should he opt out. If he opts in, even if the Rockets or some other team promises to give him that next summer, all he can get for the time being is $20 million guaranteed. So that's why, unlike Chris Paul 2 years ago, yes, it would be a lot friendlier to the Rockets in terms of the assets they have to send out to make the math work in a trade, since he'd be opting in for only $20 million, only one of Eric Gordon and Clint Capella instead of both. In an ideal world, that's what would happen. It would also not hard cap the Rockets. However, there's a reason all the reports, both locally from Jonathan Fagan, nationally from Zach Lowe of ESPN, have pointed to Jimmy Butler opting out, and that's because the guaranteed money, even though he would, in an ideal world, want to make his team have a better shot at a championship. He turns 30 years old later this summer. Clearly, that's a priority to him. At the same time, he's balancing that with his long-term financial security. And we can't blame the guy for taking 7 to nearly 10 times as much money guaranteed if that's what he chooses to do. And at this point, that appears to be the plan. Now, should he drop a bomb on us and opt in, which would obviously be to facilitate a trade, hopefully to Houston? Of course, we'll break in and have a new episode reacting when that happens. However, at this point, I'm assuming that by the end of the day, we'll get some notice, even if technically he doesn't have to do anything. At some point, his agent will leak his intention to become a free agent, and then we'll probably get a list of teams that he will meet with. And that's really the most intriguing thing about this, in my opinion, in regards to Jimmy Butler and whether the Rockets really have a shot. What encourages me is how relatively quiet it's been for most of the other top free agents. Some of them, we already know that they basically have deals lined up. Kemba Walker with the Celtics, Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets, Klay Thompson re-signing with the Warriors. And even for the ones that don't have deals lined up, we know who Kevin Durant, for example, is going to meet with. the Warriors, the Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers. We know who Kawhi Leonard's going to meet with. More on that in a little bit. The Clippers, the Lakers, and of course the Raptors, his existing team, they just won a title with. We have not heard very much about Jimmy Butler's intentions at all. Ali Bajani reported earlier in the week for The Athletic, based here in Houston, that the Rockets would get a meeting with him. I'm assuming the 76ers will, because according to Ali's report, that meeting will be in Philadelphia, and it would be pretty strange if the hometown team, his existing squad, did not get a meeting. And then beyond that, who is he going to be looking at? Maybe he has to consider another team with cap space if he really wants to get to Houston. There's also the possibility that he could be trying to leverage his way to another destination without cap space. Miami came up late Friday night, another report from Tim Reynolds of the AP based there. And yes, that does concern me a little bit, that Butler is still very interested by that idea, potentially playing in Miami, and wants to set up a meeting with the Miami Heat. It's not so much that I think the Heat can land Jimmy Butler. Their assets, as I've explained in recent days, are not as attractive as the Rockets. Eric Gordon's a better player and 3 years younger than Goran Dragic. Clint Capella is a better player and 5 years younger than Hassan Whiteside. Each also makes less money. So I don't see the Heat having the assets to appeal to Philadelphia. And even in three-team scenarios, the Heat can't trade another first-round pick until 2023, so they don't really have the sweetener to get teams to take on deals like Dragic or Whiteside that would be required to make the math work, since, just like the Rockets, Miami is well above the salary cap. So it's not so much that I'm scared by Miami as a legitimate destination for Jimmy Butler. The concern, if in fact, and this is just one report from Miami, we'll see later in the day Saturday, I'm guessing there will be a leak, just like there has been with any other free agent on the market at the highest level. We'll learn who he's going to meet with. And it's not so much that I think Miami can land Jimmy Butler, but if he has not made up his mind on Houston, it gives me more reason to think that ultimately he might stay in Philadelphia, because that's where he can get the most money, assuming they will offer that fifth year. Now, there is a little bit of mixed reporting on whether they are at the moment. Stephen A. Smith, speaking Friday night on SportsCenter, seemed to indicate that to this point, the Sixers were offering 4 years, $146 million, which is basically the same as the Rockets or any other outside team could offer. 4 years, $140 is what he would get in a sign and trade. And then you factor in the tax benefits of Texas, and it's actually a little bit higher. Maybe what ends up happening is that when the Sixers are pushed to either be in or out, then they give him that fifth year max, 5 years, $190 million. Shams Charania with The Athletic wrote Saturday morning that that could be a significant factor, that rival executives were under that belief. Then maybe he ends up staying with the Sixers, who, of course, are a very good basketball team in their own right. Took the Raptors to Game 7 and only lost on the road to the eventual NBA champions on a four-bounce buzzer beater. That's a very good team, and should he stay, then it's hard for us to look at him and say he made the wrong decision, considering it's a really good team and it's the most money. That, to me, is the scariest scenario, and as I see it, what to look for if you're the Rockets. Clearly, Houston would not have put in this much time and spent this many resources trying to line up the three-team trade proposals. We heard Friday from Mark Stein of the New York Times that Clint Capella had a suitor that the Rockets were ready to act if Butler gave them the indication that he was coming. The Rockets would not have spent this much time. Time is a very significant resource in the NBA, especially the days leading right up to July 1st. They would not have done this had they not been given an indication that Butler was interested. Think back to 2016. We know James Harden and Jimmy Butler have a relationship. Well, back then, James Harden and Kevin Durant certainly have and had a relationship. And the Rockets did not spend any time on KD because they knew that he was headed elsewhere. They got the signal. With Jimmy, clearly, they're spending this much time on him because they've been given some sort of signal that he's interested. The question is he sold that he wants to be in Houston, or is he just considering it? That is really what we're trying to find out. And if he does have a lot of suitors, in terms of four or five teams, maybe he has to take one besides Houston and Philadelphia to threaten the Sixers with leverage to say, hey, I could go to this team and leave you with nothing. That's why you should do a sign and trade with Houston. With that said, Miami would not be that team because they don't have cap room either. So that's why I'm paying attention to this list. What we're trying to figure out here is whether Jimmy Butler has actually decided that Houston is where he wants to be, or if he's just given signals that Houston is in the mix. That's the $64,000 question as we get closer to 5 p.m. on June 30th, the start of free agency, and that's what we're really looking for resolution for. And we could have some hints in the form of his list. In my opinion, the quieter and the smaller, the better. the relative silence has encouraged me a lot, because the more teams that are in the loop, the more leaks there are going to be. So the fact that Butler's loop to this point has been much more closed off than the other free agents, it gives me hope that perhaps his meeting list is not going to be as comprehensive as it is for Kevin Durant or even for Kawhi Leonard. Perhaps it is just Houston and Philadelphia. That's the best case scenario, although there is the Miami report that we'll see how that ends up. So far, that's just been based out of Miami, nothing nationally to corroborate that just yet as I'm speaking to you midday Saturday. As I see it, that's the primary thing to watch for in these final 24 hours, and probably later Saturday would be my guess, because they'll give at least a courtesy heads up, even if technically from a procedural standpoint, he doesn't have to opt out. There's certainly enough interest in terms of the NBA media, fan community these days, looking for any crumb, any morsel of information. I think there will be some sort of leak as far as what his intentions are once free agency begins Sunday afternoon, when and where the meetings are, how many teams. And to me, that's what you want to look for, because for Houston, obviously Jimmy Butler is plan A. This has been something that they've been pursuing really ever since the season concluded with the Game 6 loss in Round 2 against the Warriors. This is their emphasis, and clearly they've been given reason to believe that it at least has a chance. How strong is that chance? That's what we don't know, and we're certainly looking for answers, and that's probably the best clue that we'll get before free agency gets here, assuming he doesn't shock us all and opt in for a trade. I would love it if that were to happen, because certainly it makes it easier for the Rockets to build the rest of the roster. However, at this point, I'm going based on both the local and the national reports that that's very unlikely. We'll cross that bridge if we come to it. So Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, that's what to look for. When does Jimmy leak his list? What the first few hours of free agency are going to be? And then from there, we'll learn just how in the mix the Rockets really are. And as I've said, the smaller and the quieter, the better. Because the Rockets, they not only need to land Jimmy Butler, they need to land him quickly if they're going to do it. Because so much of what else they do in terms of free agency is dependent on whether they get him. The MLE targets, do you go after Danny Green, the 3-and-D types, or do you go after Kevon Looney, Dwayne Dedmon, Brook Lopez, DeAndre Jordan, more five types with your mid-level exception, your only true resource as an above-the-cap team, since you don't have a five in the form of Clint Capella because he shipped out for Jimmy Butler. The Rockets have clear incentive not just to get Jimmy Butler, but if they get him, to do it very quickly. So we've talked about that a lot in the last few episodes. I won't dwell on it, but that to me is why Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, whenever the leak comes regarding his intention, that's what to look for. And in my opinion, in closing, the smaller and quieter it is in regards to the leak, the list of teams, the better. Now, we've talked a lot about Jimmy Butler the last few shows, and I don't want to make it seem like that it's a done deal, because it's not. Clearly, it's an intriguing possibility. It's exciting. A top 15 type player in the NBA coming to your franchise, that's not something that happens all that frequently. The Rockets have been after him for years. They obviously believe that he's a good basketball and personality fit here in Houston, so it would be exciting. With that said, if they don't pull it off, the Rockets have a pretty good team already, especially with the Warriors in a lot of turmoil, and even if they do bring back Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, which at least the KD part of that seems very much in flux at the moment, given their injuries, they're not going to be the same at least next season. Even if the Rockets don't pull off Jimmy Butler, it's not the end of the world, but there are definitely some questions with these trade negotiations, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella becoming so public. I've had a lot of people on Twitter reaching out to me and wondering if there's some chemistry risk if they bring them back. I think that's largely overplayed, but I understand where the concerns are coming from, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments in segment 2 of our program. For now, I want to tell you about our friends and sponsors over at Gallery Furniture, where they've kicked off the summer with red hot savings on select items during the red hot summer sale. Stop by any convenient Houston area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood, made in America furniture, name brand mattresses, 100% real top grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one-of-a-kind market samples, and so much more. Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen-size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, You can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. All right, jumping back into our program on this Saturday afternoon, June 29th. This is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This is our pre-free agency show, breaking down the landscape a little over 24 hours until free agency officially begins at 5 p.m. Houston time Sunday afternoon. Of course, we'll have constant updates during free agency. I want to state the time a lot on these shows because, of course, anything can change on a dime in terms of the reporting this time of year. It only takes one phone call and all of a sudden the entire landscape can change. So if when you're listening to this, something has been reported that contradicts something that we've said, well, just please be patient, and I'll get out the next show as quickly as we can to update the state of play. This is our final look before free agency, assuming, of course, that Butler does not shock the world and opt in to the prior year of his existing deal. And we've been talking about the Butler possibility the last few shows here at Locked on Rockets because certainly it's a goal of the Rockets. It's what they're trying to do. It's their plan A, and it's new. It's exciting to have a top 15 type NBA player interested in playing for your franchise, which has been so close to winning a title the last 2 years. Yeah, it's a really fun possibility. It's new. It's exciting to talk about. However, we don't need to make it seem like an inevitability because it's not. Look, to get Jimmy Butler here, not only do the Rockets not have cap room, they have to get Philly's cooperation in a trade and probably a third team, since I really don't think they would have interest in both Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. Capella being a $17 million backup five to Joel Embiid with the Sixers, that's why you need a third team. With all that said, we shouldn't make it seem like it's an inevitability. Certainly the Rockets have been given indications that Butler will consider them. However, we don't know if he's given them a firm, I'm in, or if it's just, yeah, I'll listen. And sure, the Rockets are a good team. I know he grew up in Tomball, which is just about 30 miles outside of Houston, so there are certainly reasons to think that he'd be intrigued by this pitch. With that said, the Sixers can offer the most money. His existing team, 5 years, $190 million. No other team can offer that fifth year. And beyond that, they can also offer an incredible basketball team in their own right. Joel Embiid is 25 years old and a stud. This past season, they took the Raptors to 7 games, the only team to push the eventual NBA champions to the brink of elimination, and they lost on a 4-bounce buzzer beater. So both from the money angle and the basketball, it's very possible that he could choose to stay in Philadelphia. And if that's the case, it's not the end of the world. Look, the Rockets have only been beaten the last 2 years by the Warriors, who are not going to be the same. Even if they do bring back both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, which is far from a given, Durant going to meet with the Clippers, the Nets, and the Knicks in free agency in addition to the Warriors, even if they do, based on the nature of the injuries, and we talked about that a lot towards the end of the finals, KD with the Achilles, Klay with the ACL, they're not going to be the same team next season. So there is going to be an opening for the Rockets, even if they simply run it back. This is the core of a team that won 65 games 2 years ago, and even though they got off to the slow start last year, 11-14, the injuries, the hangover effect, Carmelo Anthony, James Ennis, once they got clicking the final 57 games of the season and then the first-round playoff series, that's 62 games, more than three-quarters of a season, in which they were on a 60-plus win pace. So the status quo of run it back and then add a mid-level addition, they did not really use their MLE last year, only to bring back Isaiah Hartenstein, Gary Clark, well, not bring back, it's to give them a three-year deal. So basically, in terms of veteran-proven additions, the Rockets did not use it last year. This year, they will. So you could easily add, say, a Danny Green, Damari Carroll type, and keep your starting five, Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella, and have a strong case that this could be the favorite in the West going into the season, perhaps dependent on what happens with the LA Lakers and Kawhi Leonard. More on that in just a few minutes. With all that said, while on paper the status quo would seem fine, it would seem concerning and demoralizing on a couple of levels. First, I know psychologically, if the Rockets don't get Jimmy Butler, even though the status quo is not the end of the world, I get it. You get this close and you feel teased with one of the big names on the market considering your franchise. If it doesn't work out, of course there's going to be a letdown, and I understand that. However, where I think some are going a bit too far are in these alleged chemistry concerns, which I've seen several on Twitter. Some people have asked me directly about it. With the nature of the trade talks becoming so public involving Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, because clearly the Sixers are not going to take both of those guys. So not only are you trying to deal with the Sixers, you're trying to loop in a third or even fourth team partner. We heard from Mark Stein of the New York Times that there was, in fact, a suitor lined up for Clint Capela. It was just dependent on whether the Rockets would land Jimmy Butler. And if they did, at that point, Houston and Daryl Morey would execute the trade, I'm guessing as part of a three-way, because Capela and Gordon would each need to go out in the same trade that they bring in Jimmy Butler to make the math work. So I understand that for us as fans, it's a bit shocking to see all of this so public. And I understand why some of you might have reservations in the scenario where the Rockets don't make this move. Is it going to be awkward if they bring these guys back? However, I think you really shouldn't worry that much about it. For starters, as far as Clint, he actually had a promotional event with James Harden in China earlier Saturday, and they seem to be quite chummy and doing well together. Harden, of course, is the primary voice for bringing in Jimmy Butler. He's been the recruiter since the Rockets, the front office, is not allowed to talk to Jimmy. Well, just as Harden was the recruiter for Chris Paul 2 years ago, he's been recruiting Jimmy Butler this summer. And by extension, then that would be sending Capela and Eric Gordon out the door. And yet here we are Saturday, just 24 hours or so away from the start of free agency and potentially landing Jimmy Butler, and Harden and Capela are together in China doing an event. This is the business of basketball. It's not like other professions. To some degree, the players are used to it and they're able to tune this stuff out. Now, I understand this is a bit more public. However, the reason I think these negotiations are a bit more public than most, look at the timing of it. That's one part of this that's crucial. Heading into June 30th, every NBA reporter that has insight, that has connections, they are in overdrive this weekend. They are constantly on their phones. Whereas during the season, you might be able to inquire under the radar about a potential Gordon or Capela deal. And really, we know Daryl Morey, other than James Harden, he's always churning through his roster, looking for ways to bring in more top-tier talent. That's how he views building an NBA champion. And after 13 years in Houston, I think we should all be accustomed to that by now. During the season, it's possible to check in and not have your reports get leaked somehow through anonymous sources who then provide the backbone for Shams or Woj or whoever it may be. This time of year, there is more stuff that gets leaked simply because of the high degree of interest and everyone is checking in. Really, 24/7, that's what this week is like in terms of the work schedules for Shams, for Woj, for Sam Amick, for any insider at the national level with regards to the NBA. So it's tougher to keep these beneath the radar. And also in this case, you're not just talking about a two-team trade, you're talking about a three or even four-team trade. So if you do have a deal lined up with a certain team for Capela, of course it's not just that team that's in the loop, it's also the Sixers. It's perhaps the agency representation of Jimmy Butler because they want to know what his options are. If there's a fourth team, they probably know. There are so many people in the loop on this that it's not as simple to close it off as if it's just a deal between you and another team. So that's why it's more public, in my opinion, just the nature of it, the timing, and having this many teams and outside interest involved, there are going to be some leaks. And so that's why we're seeing more publicly and really culminated with the report Friday afternoon from Mark Stein that the Rockets feel they have a Capela trade lined up but are not going to execute it until they land Jimmy Butler, if they do, I should say. And whether it's Sacramento, Boston, Atlanta, New Orleans, those are the teams that I've speculated about the most being a Capela fit. We don't know. Those are just my guesses. With all that said, I don't think it's all that different than a typical offseason other than those of us fans and media, we just know about it more because it's a little more public this time. In terms of the players themselves, they are often in the loop at a much higher level than we are. Just because we don't know about trade talks doesn't mean that they are unaware. Agents are typically in the loop, well, for starters, because the relationships between front offices and the agents are so important in today's NBA, you really don't want to blindside them. So when the Rockets have these discussions, even if they don't get to the finish line, many times they do loop in agents, and if it's not them, then it's the other team, because then they want to score points with the agent by keeping them in the loop. We've seen a lot of transactions over the years break because the player dealt has some sort of cryptic post on social media. They are in the loop before the media. Now, sometimes it does break through Woj, and that's unfortunate. That's why you see teams apologizing for stuff like that. Generally, you do have agents, and there's so many connections here. If it's not the Rockets informing them, then it could be another team because they want to sort out, hey, does this player want to be here? All sorts of logistical considerations that go into it. Just because there hasn't been a leak of a near trade in the past involving Clint Capella or Eric Gordon, don't take that to mean that they haven't been shopped and that, as far as they know, Daryl Morey would never think of dealing them and has never had discussions. No, as stated, here in Houston, this is Daryl Morey's MO. Unless you're James Harden, you're not safe. He always wants to bring in more top-heavy talent. He's been here for 13 years, and in the past, it hasn't impacted teams from a chemistry perspective, and I don't think it's going to this time as well if the Rockets end up running it back. Keep in mind, a year ago with Clint Capella, we went through 3 weeks of extreme awkwardness with the contract situation because he entered restricted free agency and the first meeting did not really go that well in terms of how the Rockets valued him, what they gave him, and then, of course, how he tried to shop around the league to get competitive offers, but nobody really wanted to bid for Capella because with him being restricted, it'd just be wasting their time, tying themselves up in an offer sheet that the Rockets would inevitably match anyway. It was plenty awkward. He had to duck the media. There was the charity soccer game with Luke Bamute that he, at the last minute, did not even show up for. And yet, a few weeks later, they came together, they ironed out the deal, and everything was fine. Now, I'm sure in this case, if the Rockets end up keeping Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, you might have an awkward question or two on media day. But other than that, other than more people being aware of the situation, I don't think any of this is all that different from prior off seasons. Unless you are James Harden, unless you're at that level, you are always expendable to Daryl Morey. Players and agents know this. That's why if you follow, say, Jared Dudley on Twitter, he talks about this a lot. The players get it. This is the business. And to win at the highest level, you need upper tier difference makers, which James Harden is, and I think Jimmy Butler is as well. So I would not worry too much about the chemistry concerns. I understand there'd be a little bit of a letdown if you don't land Jimmy Butler after all this hype. I'd be there with you. It wouldn't be anything devastating, but to this point, clearly the Rockets have some reason to believe that he would pick them. If he doesn't, yeah, that's a bad break, and you can lament it and wonder if perhaps you change something else would that have made your appeal better to Jimmy. I'm not saying that if he ends up staying in Philadelphia or going somewhere else that you should be completely fine, even though I do think the roster as is a very good basketball team. What I'm saying is don't take it to the next level and wonder, oh, not only do I have the normal concerns about is bringing it back and basically having the same squad plus an Emily addition enough to contend and potentially win a championship, don't take it to the next level and then think that, well, because there were these talks, then things are going to be super awkward and you may not get the same level of production from Eric Gordon or Clint Capella because they're going to be unhappy. No, I think that's an overstatement. Things are going to be fine. If they keep it together, then give it 2.5 months, especially they don't report to training camp until late September. This thing will be old news by then and everybody will be on to whatever the final composition of the roster is and talking about how the Western Conference and the NBA looks at that time. Now, one other key variable in terms of how the West and the NBA might look as we get closer to training camp in a couple of months is, of course, what happens with the other big free agents, most notably Kawhi Leonard, where there seems to be, unfortunately, some momentum between Kawhi, the reigning finals MVP, and the LA Lakers, where he could team up with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We'll talk more about that in the third and final segment of our pre-free agency show coming up. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our other sponsors over at Twillery. Because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make billions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit. Guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance dress shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the shop and bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. They've even got a limited time special where you can enjoy a free set of bottle opener collar stays with your purchase. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who who you can visit at twillory.com/lockedon. That's TWILLORY. And don't forget to use that promo code Locked On for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. All right, closing thoughts here. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And as we chat this Saturday afternoon, June 29th, we're looking at the state of really the free agency board 24 hours or so away from the official start, 5 p.m. Sunday here in Houston, when the Rockets can meet with Jimmy Butler and really teams around the league can meet with free agents around the league. It will be a fun night ahead, and hopefully we'll have another show tomorrow night with reaction if the Rockets, in fact, do land Jimmy Butler or do anything else in the first few hours of free agency. Today, this is our final primer as far as where things stand with regards to the Rockets and certainly Jimmy Butler, but also we mentioned in segment two, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, their names in these trade talks. What happens if they end up staying here in Houston, which is not the end of the world. The Rockets do have a very good team already. So while landing Jimmy Butler would be nice, it's not like it's required to make them a contender. With all that said, you being a contender is not all about you. One reason that we're a little more optimistic about the Rockets than, say, a month ago was that, well, the competition does not seem, at least in the Western Conference, nearly as steep. The Warriors of the past 2 years, the squad that's been in the Rockets' way, they're not the same. Even if they do keep Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, and KD is going to take free agency meetings with at least three other teams, well, KD towards Achilles and Klay Thompson towards ACL, they're not going to be the same next year, even if they do return. So you're looking at 2020, 2021 as the earliest, even if they do keep those guys, that the Warriors could be the same. And at that point, with Steph Curry being 32, with Andre Iguodala being 37, pretty much everybody being in their 30s at that point, it's hard to say exactly what they would look like. It's hard to see them certainly being at the same level they were when these guys were all in their late 20s and KD and Klay Thompson were coming off these devastating Achilles and ACL injuries. So that's part of why we're optimistic about the Rockets and this status quo, and why if they bring back Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, first off, I do think that there's not really going to be a big chemistry impact. They'll be fine. And then beyond that, that's why the Rockets, even if they just run it back and have a quality MLE signing and some better minimums than they did last summer with Michael Carter-Williams, James Ennis, Carmelo Anthony, you can have success. And certainly the Rockets, they have a good team in their own right. But also another reason that I think a lot of us are comfortable with this route is, well, the window changed once the Warriors had those injuries. And all of a sudden, you don't have this behemoth at the top of the Western Conference. It's not always about you. Well, the flip side, and I want to at least acknowledge the possibility, are these growing rumors about Kawhi Leonard joining the LA Lakers. We heard Thursday that Anthony Davis had waived his trade kicker. The Lakers also ditched three contracts. They folded the Washington Wizards into the Anthony Davis trade, which will be executed on July 6th. And so even though it's not official at this point, basically the Lakers do have another max salary slot. And according to many reports, they are going to get an interview and are at least in the game for Kawhi Leonard, the reigning MVP, finals MVP, that is, with the defending champion Toronto Raptors. I've said for a while throughout the finals, one reason why I was cheering for the Raptors is because I thought it made Toronto's pitch to keep Kawhi that much more strong. If he stays in the East, that's obviously a win for the Rockets. But if he goes to the West, the Lakers are definitely, now that they've landed Anthony Davis, and of course they already have LeBron, that's a bigger threat than the Clippers. If the Clippers get their plan, which seems to be pairing Kawhi and KD, well, KD is not going to be himself for at least a year. So at least next year, I don't really think it elevates them to a true contending level. The Lakers, if they have Kawhi, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, that's three of the top six or seven talents in the league. Yeah, they're going to be a contender. Now, I don't think they'll be an overwhelming favorite the way Vegas will. I think a lot of people are going to bet heavily on the Lakers if they get those big names just based on the star power. But yeah, they'd be up there without a doubt. And for a Rockets team that got a break with regards to the Warriors falling off a little bit because of the injuries, this would kind of be the opposite in terms of a team then making that leap back to the top of the West alongside Houston and probably Utah as well, now that they've added Mike Conley. With all that said, I do think some of the reaction is over the top. And that's what I want to address in today's show as we close it out. This is on the hypothetical that Kawhi chooses the Lakers. This is not a done deal. it seems that the Raptors, the Clippers, they're both equally in the mix. And I'm hoping certainly Raptors first, and if not Toronto, then the Clippers. Those are the ideal scenarios for the Rockets. But even if the worst case scenario happens and he ends up with the Lakers, while it would be annoying, it would definitely make another contender in the West, I don't see it as transformative. I've seen a lot of Rockets fans on Twitter, on Clutch fans, speculating that if the Lakers get Kawhi, why should the Rockets even try? That's a dramatic overstatement, in my opinion. While the Lakers with Kawhi would be very, very good, this is not the Golden State Warriors of the last 3 years. Not by a long shot. And if the Rockets were going to compete with the Warriors, and they did, and in my opinion came in 2018, a hamstring and some bad officiating away, then I certainly don't think they're going to be deterred by a Lakers squad that certainly would have three elite talents, maybe the best big three ever put together from a talent perspective, but is completely unproven beyond that. The Lakers would be very good, but they are not the Golden State Warriors. They are not nearly the same behemoth at the top of the Western Conference when it comes to how strong they would be and how daunting it would be for Houston or anyone else to potentially think about beating them 4 times out of 7 in a postseason series. Before we even go into the talent, you have to start by acknowledging the huge medical red flags with two of the three in LA in this scenario. LeBron James is going to be 35 years old, and he's been playing NBA basketball since 2003. And in that time, he's gone to 9 NBA finals. That's an enormous amount of mileage. Father Time stops for no one. Just ask his buddy Chris Paul in Houston, who's actually a year younger. We have already seen LeBron James starting to show the effects. That groin injury last Christmas ended up costing him nearly 2 months. The Lakers shut him down early because clearly, once they realized that the playoffs were a long shot, they were concerned about not adding too much to his plate in a year that they weren't even going to make the playoffs, let alone contend. This is not late 20s LeBron. He can still be really good, although we could see his efficiency start to slide as well. Again, look at Chris Paul last year in Houston. Still a good player, but not quite the same. But LeBron at 35, the injuries that he went through last year, those happen when a player gets to that age and has that much mileage. Really, his 35, when you consider all the finals trips that he's been playing NBA basketball since he was 18, his 35 is like a normal player's 38 or 39. I know he's LeBron, I know he's an all-time great, but Father Time does not stop for anyone, especially in a league like the NBA, where athleticism, quickness, power, any slippage at all makes a huge, huge difference. So LeBron, I know that's his name, and I know that carries a lot of weight, but this is not the 2010 version that went to the Heat and just transformed the league wherever he went. We learned that last year when people couldn't imagine the Lakers missing the playoffs. Well, they did, and in part, you know, I know Lakers fans will say, well, LeBron got injured, and if he didn't get injured, then blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, it happens. Players at that age get injured. And then with Kawhi Leonard, I know he's just 28. That quad is chronic. There's a reason the Spurs were that concerned about it. And then in the playoffs, we had the compensation injury to his other leg. I know he got through the finals and was an MVP, but there were moments where it looked like he was running on fumes. And even in this past season where there was so much success for Kawhi, he played just 60 games. And that's a Raptors squad that allowed him to do it because they were so deep, even at the 9-10 spots on the roster, he could sit for a few games, Kawhi could, and it wouldn't necessarily make a huge difference. That's how they could manage him and let him miss basically a quarter of the season and get him in the right shape for the playoffs. If he were to join the Lakers, they'd have LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi, Kyle Kuzma, and then really the entire rest of the roster outside of one room exception, which they have, that's not even MLE level. They won't have the MLE because they go beneath the cap to sign Kawhi or whoever they end up adding. So they have the room exception, probably about $4 million, and then all minimums. It's going to be the opposite of Toronto. The guys that you sign at a minimum level are not the types that you can feel good plugging and playing when Kawhi and also when LeBron inevitably need days off to get through the 82-game season. And Anthony Davis, for that matter, has not been the model of perfect health either, although he doesn't have a chronic injury, to my knowledge, and the Pelicans have had a lot of bad teams, so I think some of that could just be randomness. I think AD, of the three, is one that you don't worry too much about, but even he's had some medical concerns. Kawhi and LeBron, LeBron with the age and Kawhi with the quad, those are huge red flags that I know what the names are, but this is not nearly as daunting as, say, when the Warriors added Durant to Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. All those guys were in their 20s, and none of them, other than maybe Steph Curry with the ankles, although he's seemed to turn the corner on that, they pretty much all appear healthy. There are red flags going in with this group. So that in and of itself is a very big difference. Just because you say the names, Kawhi, LeBron, Anthony Davis, it's not that simple because you can't just assume that everything is going to be healthy. No, that's a huge risk going in. And even this past year, which was largely a success for Toronto, of course, they won the title. It's not like Kawhi was an Iron Man playing 82 games. No, they had to manage him and that quad very, very carefully in a way that I don't think the Lakers, the way they would have to construct that roster, would be able to. We're talking about at least 8 or 9 roster spots being minimums. I'm sure you'll get a few discounts, but nobody goes from making $8, $10 million or even the MLE to a minimum level. That is dramatically overstated. Now, I'm sure LeBron can offer him Space Jam 2 spots, and maybe that's how he got Anthony Davis to waive his trade kicker. But you really don't see guys signing for the minimum that have markets of $5-plus million elsewhere. What you pay for is generally what you get. Maybe come buyout season, you can get some bargains that way. That's the one area where you can see really accomplished players signing for the minimum because they're basically double dipping. But at that point, 3/4 of the season is gone. And the Lakers also don't have draft picks to get better in terms of either internally or using them for trade purposes because they gave up most of them in the Anthony Davis trade to New Orleans. So if someone good comes available on the trade market, well, it's not like they can trade future first-round picks to land them in LA. That's not going to work. And beyond those considerations, I think a lot of people are underrating just how special these Golden State Warriors have been. The reason it was so daunting when Kevin Durant went there, the championship infrastructure was already in place. They had already won an NBA title, and then the year before got to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Oh, by the way, having won 73 games, the most ever in the history of the sport. Steve Kerr was a championship coach. We don't know that about Frank Vogel. Everything at Golden State was already proven. Whereas in LA, right now the only guys they have under contract are LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma. It is a blank slate. And it's an organization that has had a lot of questions just within the last 12 months. Look at all the turmoil with Magic and everything that's been going on. The circus at times in terms of the leaks and the various reports that we've heard about what's gone on under Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss out in LA. This is not the Golden State Warriors from an organizational perspective. And even those end-of-the-bench spots. Look, you had guys in Golden State. Sean Livingston. David West. Kevon Looney, who they drafted and developed. It wasn't like they just filled it out all with minimums. Even though they had to give up a lot of their depth to make room for Durant, they weren't barren, in which they just had 8 roster spots and then had to sign a bunch of minimums and hope it works and throw it together in year one. No, you did have continuity at those end-of-the-bench spots in those last 3 years, the second half of your rotation, if you will. Whereas in LA, you are literally going to be starting from scratch. There's no chemistry. You don't know how this is going to work. And even from a talent perspective, okay, I understand. Kawhi, LeBron, Anthony Davis, those are 3 of the top 6 or 7 players in the league. And that sounds daunting. I get it. Well, guess what? Every postseason, between Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, they're in the top 5 in the league. That's 2 right there. And then Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. Yes, I firmly believe that those 2 in the playoffs, they are really, really good. I'd say 4 of the top 15. You could even argue that Draymond Green is a top 10 level player, the playoff version, what we saw in that Houston series this year, when in my opinion, he was the most impactful player in the series. 3 out of the top 6 or 7 sounds good, but the Warriors have 4 of the top 10 or 4 of the top 15 at the worst in the playoffs. And then they have better depth. They have more proven coaching. It is apples and oranges to a Lakers squad that certainly They'd be very sexy. They'd be the favorites just based on the star power. But it's not the same as the Golden State Warriors. Even the top four, if you want to include Kuzma, and I think it still remains to be seen exactly how Kuzma's going to fit in what would basically be a number four role in this hypothetical. Okay, the Lakers top four, LeBron, AD, then Kawhi and Kyle Kuzma. Compare that to Steph, Durant, Klay, and Draymond. The fit, it's a lot more proven. It's a lot more cohesive in Golden State. Oh, and then there's that Andre Iguodala guy who is basically the Robert Horry of this generation. He's really good too. And that's your fifth wheel. The Warriors, it's not just about the top three, the entire lineup. They call them the Hamptons Five for a reason. Every spot in that lineup is occupied by probably a Hall of Famer. Whereas with the Lakers, you'd have Kyle Kuzma, who's relatively unproven in terms of how he fits with a championship contender. And then that fifth spot would either be a minimum signing or someone at, I guess, the room exception, a little bit above the minimum. Andre Iguodala is making $15 million for a reason. He is really good. So when you look at the back half of the rotation after the top four, even if you want to argue that LeBron, AD, Kawhi, and Kuzma are comparable, which personally I would not go that far because I think on top of just the fact that Kuzma's unproven, we don't know what the mix is going to be like, and there's also the injury concerns. Even if you want to argue the top four are comparable, okay, then you go down to the 5 through 8 spots where the Warriors had Andre Iguodala. They had Kevon Looney, who they developed internally. They had Sean Livingston, who throughout the years has been the perfect role player for this team. There's a proven way to play. There's guys who have no fear of the moment. The Lakers are going to have a bunch of minimums there. And that's before we even get into the injury concerns, the fact that it makes it harder when really the 8, 9, 10 spots in your roster are all minimum guys. Then Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James are not going to want to sit out as much during the season because at that point you're going to be basically tanking the game. And so it makes it tougher for them to get the rest that they need to be in optimal conditioning in April, May, and June the way Kawhi was this year. All of this isn't to say the Lakers could not win a title. They easily could. But pump the brakes on basically sliding them into the Warriors spot. The Warriors the last 3 years were historically good. In my opinion, when healthy, the best team the NBA has ever seen. And that's why I've never been as down on the Rockets as a lot of people, because think how close the Rockets came. Game 7 and Game 6, and hell, the Game 7, if not for the hamstring, quirky officiating, all the other factors that went on in that series, the historic outlier of an over 27 stretch. There's value in being close. And if the Rockets were competitive with the Warriors, and they weren't scared off by that team in Golden State, I really don't think they're going to be scared off by the Lakers, even if they add Kawhi. That's not to say that I hope he goes there, because I don't. They'd be really good. It would be annoying to see another contender at the top of the West, but I don't think you need to look at it as particularly devastating if it happens. Certainly cheer against it, but this is not the Golden State Warriors reincarnated. It'd be a good team, but I don't think it's an automatic Western Conference champion. It's just yet another hurdle that the Rockets would have to overcome if they're ultimately going to get the ring in this James Harden era. Anyway, that's where I'll leave things on this Saturday, June 29th here at Locked On Rockets. If you want more content before our next show, which hopefully will be Sunday night, we'll have real-time updates throughout free agency, and hopefully the Rockets give us a reason to have another show very early on. But if you want more content even before then, there are, of course, many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, LockedOnRockets.com, a Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. And before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors, and keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. You can also support our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. In addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a whole lot more. And I encourage you to do that and to leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked on Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening. And please come back soon, early in free agency, for more episodes right here at Locked on Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.